son. I speak to every sickness, call out every lie, prophesy. Thank you, Jesus. Some people don't want me to prophesy today. Don't come over here. Don't come over here. That's all right. Well, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done. We surrender our hearts to you, Lord, to the message that we're about to receive. And I thank you for health in our bodies. I thank you for sickness being cursed. I thank you for healing that's flowing through this place right now for all who need it and those who are online. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, it's the third message on gratitude. Now, this one is close to home for all of us, not just for me, for all of us. Be thankful for your haters. That's a different one. But, you know, we know what the Bible talks about. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. But I was thinking about it, and just the Lord was showing me over the years on how I was operating in that, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't really know it. See, when I used to play ball in high school, I didn't go out. Today's time is just so different than what we had back then. I mean, we had AAU circuits, but you had to pay and stuff, and I didn't have the money to do all that. I think I played 1 year, and it was just in sixth grade, one tournament. But other than that, what I did was, as far as my opponent was concerned, my opposition, they would have all the accolades, the big crowds following them. And back then, coaches would actually come to the games and show up and watch and recruit. It wasn't just on huddle. But see, I was going to use their name and their fame to make my name known. They're coming to watch them, but at the end of the night, they're going to be talking about me. So I was thankful for those big opportunities because I didn't get to go all the way across town and up north and all over the place to travel. If they came here, we were playing, I was going to help make my name known. And I didn't realize that I was kind of piggybacking on my haters, so to speak, as their influence was. I've been doing it all the time. I'm thankful for haters. We have Goliath. We wouldn't have a story about David and Goliath if there was no Goliath. And Goliath spent all of his time. Sometimes our haters will spend all their time, energy, money. I mean, just everything poured into doing what they're doing. It's just hating or fighting and do whatever. Fighting all sorts of battles. David spent his time shepherding God's sheep. He spent his time spending time with the Lord, understanding who he was in as far as his covenant was concerned. But when it came time to battle, all that other junk that Goliath had done didn't matter. And see, sometimes we would spend so much time looking at our opposition rather than looking at the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." It says be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. All good is from God, but that evil is not from God. Satan will take what is good and pervert it, and he'll make it evil. We don't give thanks for sickness and disease. We don't. We thank God for healing. We don't thank God for the dysfunction that may be in our family, but we do thank God for restoration within those families. You know, when we have an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude, it helps to relieve stress in our lives. It also increases our happiness. it's good for your physical health to be thankful as opposed to being ungrateful. You ever been around an ungrateful person? Man, they wear you down. It's important to be around people who are going to build you up as opposed to tear you down. This is why I want us to be the ones that build others up. Speaking the truth, challenging evil at all cost, not just allow it to just happen in our homes, in our cities, in our communities, and what have you. We got to be able to challenge that. So be thankful in all circumstances. Faith does not deny that the problem exists. Okay? We know that. But it does save you a lot of time and a lot of heartache when you could be thankful for God for these things that are in your life and whatever He's called you to do. Goliath was a champion fighter. Keyword was. See, when David picked up those five smooth stones, it wasn't just for Goliath. It was also for Goliath's brothers. He had one stone for every brother that he had. He's getting ready to take down some giants. And he wasn't planning on missing. See, when you fight battles with God, you're always going to win. But when you choose to do it your own way, you may get defeated at times. You don't realize how prideful people are being when they are actually going after you. Haters don't realize how prideful they're being. They do not realize it. But I'm thankful for the opposition because it also gives us an opportunity to go to the Father. See, in our weaknesses, this is when He's strong. And I have to be upset with opposition. I'm thankful for opposition. You know, there's been some times when I would play one-on-one with people, and I know I can beat them. This is back then, not now. I played Isaiah when I was, what grade was he in? Eighth grade, ninth grade? And I said, you don't have to listen to me if you beat me. I probably never should have said that. He beat me. And I was huffing and puffing. I was like, wait a minute, we're going to have to go back on this one. But when I know I was able to beat him, I said, let's just shoot around. No, I want to play. If they were persistent, okay, I'll play. But one of the things is that I would make it harder on myself. I work on my left hand. I'm not very strong going to the left, so I'm going to just play left-handed. I'm going to work on my weaknesses against you. Because it was an easy victory. And sometimes I even do this in life. I try to make it harder on myself because I know it's an easy victory. Because sometimes you like the challenge. If you're competitive, if you're wanting to dominate, what have you, you like the challenge. But at the same time, you don't like the challenge because it's like, it's almost nagging. We don't want to be nagging. So what am I saying? You got to be able to choose your battles wisely. You just can't fight every battle. People get you off course on what God has called you to do. You can't fight every battle. They want to stop and argue with you. You can't fight and argue every single time. God did not send you here to win arguments. He sent you here to win souls. And the enemy would love nothing more than to get you to the place to where you're just constantly arguing, defending. Choose your battles wisely. And all they're doing is just making you fight yourself. Am I talking to someone? Yeah. Fighting the fact that you don't deserve what you have. You don't deserve that raise. Then they got you. Maybe I don't really deserve it. Man, they put in more work than I did. They've been here longer. No. Listen, the favor of God is not fair. And you got the favor of God on your life. And it is not fair. And some people ain't going to like it. Too bad. Okay? Don't allow them to get into your head and get you to the place to where you begin to fight and doubt what God has freely given you. I was reading the other day and a song came up. This is why the title came up. Not because of the song, but because of we're supposed to love our enemies, right? But there's a song called Hater. It's called Hater Day. And the verses is like, basically the chorus is, I'm going to do something good for my hater today. By Canton Jones. I was like, man, I forgot all about this. Even though it's in scripture. It says to love your enemy. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. I'll get you a pop or something. I want to get you a Pepsi. I'll get you a Coke. I'm a Pepsi man. For your Coke drinkers, it's an ongoing battle. That's a battle I'm willing to fight. Some of them are worth it. I'm reminded of a video of a young man, a young boy, a kid. He goes to a pop machine and he puts in the quarters and he gets two Cokes. Cokes right there. Then he takes the Cokes, stands on top of them to reach up for the Pepsi. Said, I like that. I like that. I still love you. Now, we don't want to get to the place of where we hate on others. Getting all jealous and envy on what others have will get you out of the will of God so quick and down the wrong path. Jealousy will cause you to do some crazy stuff. It'll cause you to put on camo, face painting and everything just to spy on people. Jealousy will get you to the place to where you got to find out where that person is going so that you know who they're surrounded by just so that you can get the information from them. Jealousy and envy will get you to the place to where you begin to tear down someone in your own company just so that you can get to the top. Jealousy and envy will get you to the place to where you're hurt the loved ones that are around you. Got you peeking through the windows. Got you talking to their neighbors just so you can stir up some drama. People have been killed over jealousy and envy. And that's never any place we want to be. And James 4:2 says this, you jealously want what others have, so you begin to see yourself as better than others. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why you quarrel and fight. And all the time you don't obtain what you want because you won't ask God for it. And if you ask, you won't receive. If you're asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires, you have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. So people don't even realize that they're setting themselves up to be a friend of the world, but an enemy of God. When they're operating in jealousy and envy, they don't realize how prideful they're being. And if you continue to read on down to verse 7, we know what James 4:7 is. Therefore, submit yourself to God. You who are jealous, you who are envious, you who are prideful, you submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not the one that the enemy is constantly coming after. But the one who is constantly trying to go after others. You submit yourself to God. You can't win on hating others. You can't win being jealous and envious of what people have. Because all it does is just make you an enemy of God. And I'm going to just let you know. God has never lost a battle. That's just one of those how dumb can you get and still breathe moments. Well, I'm going to be an enemy of God today. And not only that, he will never lose. So I'm thankful for my haters because it keeps me grounded. Because I know who I am in Christ. I go to Jesus. I don't go to man, I go to Jesus. and that he'll surround me with those men that will speak life into me. Because we have to understand that greater is he. Right? We know who we are in Christ. For the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I'm thankful for haters. It may not seem. See, one of the reasons why I say what I say when I say it, y'all know what I want to say. You know me for several months. But y'all know what I want to say. It's because if I were to operate in the flesh, because I'm not a gossiper, I don't go around doing all that junk. Waste of time. Because that's where I take it. Sometimes I want to say teeth in or out. But you can't. But that's where I take it. If I were to operate in my flesh, that's where it would go. So please do not deprive me of that and go ahead and knock your own teeth out. I'll pray for you though. Haters is an acronym for it. Having anger towards everyone reaching success. I wish I would have made that up, but that's not mine. That means you have to watch what they are doing and who they are talking to rather than focusing on what God has called you to do. If you can have much time hating on somebody, that's crazy. That's a lot of time. Go be with your family. Go take a vacation. Go play some shuffleboard, something. Pickleball. It's a great sport. I'm coming back. But when you have time to hate on others, it shows your relationship with the Father isn't as close as it needs to be. In John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world will hate, but sometimes believers will hate too. But we're supposed to hate what is evil, cling to what is good. But sometimes we'll end up hating on others because we see the Jesus that's on the inside of a person, and then we may not like their relationship. Well, when they pray for some people, they get results. When I pray for somebody, I don't get any results. I don't feel nothing. So they began hating on them. Well, you know, if they weren't, I think they're just making it up. Then they start investigating the healings. Then they start investigating the prayers. Then they start if you have all that time, God bless you. I thank you for it. Why do these people always have to carry their Bibles everywhere they go? They're praying in public. They're praying over their food. Sometimes believers get that way too. I don't want to go to church because there's just too many hypocrites there. Well, join the family. I'm not going to church because all they want is my money. They just want to buy cars and houses and jewelry and all this other stuff. Well, you keep your 2 cents. God bless you. They're not after your money. They're after your heart. Some people are. Don't get me wrong. Some people are. They'll manipulate you to no end. Now, I'm talking about smooth. Haters. Having anger towards everyone reaching success. Jealousy will only take you to a place where you are an enemy of God. So if you find yourself being a hater or jealous and envious of what God is doing in someone else's life, submit yourself to God. That's the great time to submit. Lord, I missed it. See, repentance is changing your heart, changing your mind. God wants us to repent. Matter of fact, haters, helping all those egos repent of sin. That could be another one. In Romans 12:14, it says, bless those who persecute you. I looked up Don't curse them. Don't curse them. Don't cuss them out. Pray that God will bless them. And I know that goes against our nature, but that doesn't go against God's nature. Matthew 5:11 through 12 says this, New Living Translations. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. The Passion Translation, I like this. It says, how blessed you are when people insult and persecute you and speak all kinds of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. I'll let you know, it's not about you. It's about Jesus in you. Next verse. You don't have, I just gave you 5:11. Andy, you're slipping, man. No, I'm just playing. How blessed you are when people insult and persecute you and speak all kinds of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. I looked up that word in Merriam-Webster dictionary. It says, persecute, it means to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grief, or afflict. So people in America does go through persecution. Maybe just not on the level that everyone else does out there, but you're still going through some persecution. And another definition says to annoy with persistent or urgent approaches, such as attacks, pleas, or importunities. Then I had a word under there right next to it said pester. So people will intentionally do these things in order to get under your skin. Why? They're jealous of you. They're envious of you. You got a great marriage. They don't. Their wife respects you and their wife doesn't. Their husband treats you like Christ treats the church or what have you. Treats their wife as Christ treats the church. But you don't do that. See, you don't ever have to get to the place of jealousy and envy. If you want to know, just ask. Be thankful for your haters takes on a whole new meaning because God is the one who will reward you for it. They are mocking you because of your faith in God. They mock you because you believe in the name of Jesus. They will mock you because you believe in the name of Jesus that still carries weight and power and has the power to heal you of all your sicknesses and diseases. They're not getting those results that you're getting. Jealousy and envy have you mad at your pastor? No. Smile. Are you happy? Yeah. Well, tell your face. Tell your face. Somebody said that to me when I was at camp. I was just like, it's like, are you happy? Yeah. Are you happy? Yeah. Well, tell your face. All right. There we go. People will mock you because you're organized. You could be an organized king. For the first time, y'all, for the first time in 22 years, my side of the closet looks better than hers. And she said hers is not dirty. There's just a lot of stuff. I'm thankful for my haters. Sometimes my wife could be the biggest supporter, and then she could be real. I'm not going to call her a hater. But she could be real. But I love that about her, because she's going to tell you the truth. I was pretending I was trying to get a kiss from her, and then I was trying to go to 90 and have her go to 10. And then I was like, whatever. And then she went the 90. I said, wait. And I backed off. I was like, no, I don't want it. And then she tried to do it again. I said, no, I don't want it. I said, Fine then, you're not getting one. I said, baby, I'm supposed to go to 9, you're supposed to go to 10. It's not the other way around. But she wouldn't give me a kiss. So I'm thankful for my haters because it teaches you something. If she reaches out for a kiss, you kiss her. That's a lesson learned. I missed out last night. That's just what you want to hear, hunty. See, sometimes with coaches, when coaches are riding players, it's because they know there's something in them. And when haters are riding you, it's kind of good because you have to understand, if they weren't paying attention to you, who else was? You'd be lonely. Jesus is. But if you look at it, even though they are making themselves an enemy of God by doing what they're doing, they're still paying attention. They're also putting you on notice to the world if you look at it. If they're telling all your business in every which way, they're putting you on notice to the world. Now all you have to do is shine. They can bring all this attention and they're thinking it's going to be all negative against you in every which way. Now everybody's looking at you and you over here just shining like you're supposed to. See, what the enemy meant for harm, God is going to turn around and work it for your good. Genesis 50:20 says this, you intended to harm me. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. They were jealous of Joseph. And they meant to harm him. They wanted to kill him. That's where jealousy would get you. But they ended up selling him off. And by doing that, that took him to Egypt. See, God knew it all along. See, your enemies, now understand, God didn't have them do that. But he turned that around. When people are sowing strife into your life, it talks about in Isaiah, don't ever think that it came from me. But understand, we realize that he can turn those things around, what the enemy meant for harm. He's going to put you on notice. Your haters will put you on notice, but guess what? God is going to use that for his glory. Joseph could have paid them back for everything they had put him through, but he chose forgiveness. He was right there doing what God told him to do. And sometimes we may not like the journey and haters along the way, but the haters are the ones that helped to get Joseph to Egypt. So people could be talking negative about you, lying on you, but when people look at you, they're seeing the truth. They're seeing your hard work. They're seeing your work, you know, your work ethic. They're seeing how you actually are with other people. See, they wasn't even on your radar. You weren't even on their radar. But now that hater put you on their radar. And now they're looking at you and saying, well, he is a pretty good worker. I don't know what this person's talking about. He's out of his mind. I may use him. What the enemy meant for harm. So we can continue to be upset with our haters, even after the fact that God has blessed us, or we can have an attitude of gratitude and be thankful for every hater that may have come across our path. Be thankful for them because they get you dependent on God a whole lot more. They get you trusting in him a whole lot more. Without the opposition, all you're doing is just scrimmaging against each other. Sometimes scrimmages are good, but you want the real thing. Not something that's made up. You want the real thing. You want real opposition so that you can actually exercise your faith. Scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All those demonic things are just different levels. Principalities. New levels, new devils. Any place that God has taken you into, there's going to be some new devils there, new demons. And they're not going to like you because of Christ living inside of you. Why doesn't everybody, why don't these people like me? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Go back to Matthew 5:11. Don't worry about that. Bless them. Bless them. James is talking to the brethren who is jealous of others. Stop hating and submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then you will stop hating on your brother and sister. Because we don't want to live an ungrateful life. Be thankful. I grew up in an era where even with my grandma and grandpa, my mom, my parents told us, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. It's lost in these days. We had a guy come over. He used to work at Quality Quick Lube, a young man. He was 26 years old. And he asked me, he came over to our house because he was doing the internet. And he goes, you want me to call you Tim or Mr. Nunnery? I said, Mr. Nunnery. I said, actually, I said, how old are you? He goes, 26. Mr. Nunnery, I got a son that's just, Isaiah does not call me Tim. Mr. Nunnery, Chris is like, I can't believe you told him that. It's like, I'm 20 some years older than him. Mr. Nunnery will do just fine. Makes me feel prestige. No, it's like, no, that's just a respect thing. It ain't about me. So you have your young children talking about, well, Darren doesn't want this. Who's Darren? My teacher. Mister? See, I understand you may be upset with what the teacher may have done, but you still got to ring them in a little bit and get them to respect their teachers, their leaders, and things of that nature. There's nothing wrong with that. James 3:13 says this, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. Doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Next, roll with me. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of what? Whew. Plant those seeds of peace. If you are a peacemaker, it says those who are peacemakers. Not everyone is a peacemaker. Some people like to raise hell in a good way. Let those haters hate, because that's what they do. Now, if it gets you to the place to where you're hating them, you may have to reevaluate some things. Doesn't mean you have to be besties with them. Go out and get lattes with them in every which way. You can love on them. You can pray for them. But realize, what God has for you is so far greater. He said there's great rewards for you in heaven. When they lie on you, when they persecute you, when they slander you, when they mock you. I think they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. It's all right. You mean let them? Yeah. Because when you show them that you have peace and you still can't be, they can't stop you. They're doing it so that you will stop you. They can't stop you. They can't stop what God wants to do to you. So they'll have you fighting yourself all in your mind, rehearsing it over and over and over and over again to the place to where you won't fulfill your call and your purpose, your destiny. Hatred is too strong of a burden to bear. Been there, done that. I didn't get to knock any teeth out, but I'd been there, done that. Haters. Helping all those eagles repent of sin. That's where we're at. There's I keep referring to Hoops because I watch it all the time. But if any of y'all know Allen Iverson, y'all know Allen Iverson. He used to have cornrows, play for Philly. He was playing the Lakers in the finals. And the Lakers had this young guy by the name of Tyronn Lue. He coaches for the Clippers now. And Tyronn Lue was like, well, Allen said to Tyronn, he goes, you know, you wouldn't have got that $5 million contract. You know, $5 million a year if it wasn't for you guarding me. He goes, and this is what Tyronn Lue says. Thank you. It's like, you're right. I wouldn't have got all that money if it wasn't for me guarding you. So sometimes you're going to have to thank your haters because they may be getting you a raise. Promotion. Doesn't mean you got to agree with everything they're saying. Correct them with love. Speak the truth in love. Amen? Amen. So this Thanksgiving, there's going to be an opportunity for haters to creep up. Keep yourself in love. Tell them thank you. But deep down, you know they're dealing with some other things too when they lash out on you. And we need the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, to be able to discern those things. So whatever the Spirit of God is telling you, don't be fearful to share that with them. Okay? Well, you're just going at me because of this and this and this. No, no, no. Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit and what He's telling you. There's some pain behind what they're saying. Hatred will stir up quarrels and fights. But you still gotta love them. Amen? As much as that pains others. Not me. Of course not me. No. I gotta do that too. I cannot put myself above the Word of God. So, Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all the lives that are here, Lord. We thank you that we can love our enemies. We thank you that you have given us the capacity to love others because of what you've given us. And, Lord, we just pray for all those that are traveling this week to get to their families. We believe that they will be able to get to their destination safe. And get back home safe. And we thank you for peace in those families. That people will be able to join together and come together as you want them to. That fathers are sons are returning to their fathers. The fathers are turning to their sons and father. And that their relationships are restored because of your grace and mercy. We thank you for our haters. Because they will help us to promotion. we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. This Wednesday, no church. So, no service Wednesday night. And also December 14th, we are doing a Christmas party. Ugly sweater Christmas party. If you all are invited, it'll start at 6:45, so we'll have games and food and stuff. If y'all know the charcuterie board type meals and whatever you want on there, that would be good. I might even do like baby back ribs on mine or something like that. Either that or pig's feet. Pig lips, pig's feet, chitlins. No, I'm just playing. So long as somebody brings some hot sauce, I'm good. Well, grab your neighbor's hand and just for 30 seconds, just pray for the ones on the right of you. Thank you, Jesus. Now pray for the one on the left. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that your goodness and mercy follows them, is running after them. So that means that they have to keep their eyes on you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You all have a blessed week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.